It's 5:30. I'm Nora Flaherty, and you're listening to MPBN Radio. Ahead on Maine Things Considered this evening, the biggest art theft in Maine's history is resolved as the last two N.C. Wyeth paintings stolen in 2013 are recovered. And charges filed against the former Waterville High School principal. Those stories in a moment. First, though, this news. This is Maine Things Considered on MPBN Radio. I'm Nora Flaherty. First today, a resolution to what many are calling the biggest art heist in Maine history. Six N.C. Wyeth paintings that were stolen from a Portland apartment in 2013 have been reunited. Today, the FBI and Portland police announced the recovery of the last two remaining paintings that were missing. As Patty White reports, the paintings will soon be on display at the Portland Museum of Art.
The two N.C. Wyeth paintings, called Go Dutton and That Right Speedily and The Encounter on Freshwater Cliff, were recovered last month in Burlington, Massachusetts. FBI Special Agent Hank Shaw says it draws a close to an 18-month search for works which are reportedly valued at about $500,000 apiece.
This is believed to be one of the most significant thefts in the history of the state of Maine.
It started in the spring of 2013 when the paintings were stolen from Portland businessman Joe Soli. The Portland police asked the FBI for assistance, and by December, the FBI tracked four of the paintings to a pawn shop in Beverly Hills, California. Three men, one from Massachusetts, the other two from California, were arrested and charged. One was sentenced to a 7-year prison term, another to 2 years, and a third will be sentenced in December. But two paintings remained missing until a month ago, when a third party that the FBI is not identifying surrendered them to a retired FBI agent.
Both paintings were found in good condition, inside cardboard boxes in their original frames.
And now that they've been recovered, owner Joe Soli is loaning all six of the recovered paintings to the Portland Museum of Art. Museum director Mark Basir calls N.C. Wyeth the patriarch of the most famous American art family.
His tradition in Maine really tells the great story and the role Maine has played in American art history. And we are so thankful to have these six paintings back.
N.C. Wyeth is the father of Andrew Wyeth, the 20th century artist best known for his painting Christina's World. N.C. is also the grandfather of Jamie Wyeth, a contemporary realist painter. N.C. himself was a prolific painter who was best known for his illustrations of a classic Robert Louis Stevenson book.
It was a Treasure Island, one of the most famous books of all time.
The museum is opening a special exhibit of the six recovered paintings this Saturday that will run through January 3rd. While the art community is celebrating their return, FBI agent Hank Shaw says his agency's work is unfinished.
At this point, I can tell you, no reward money has been requested and no additional arrests have been made. However, the FBI investigation into the thefts remains active and ongoing.
Shaw says there doesn't appear to be a connection between the most recently recovered paintings and the three individuals arrested in connection with the paintings found in California. For MPBN News, I'm Patty White.
The former principal of Waterville High School is facing a misdemeanor charge of official oppression as the result of allegations that he solicited an 18-year-old female senior for sex last summer. Don Ryder was fired from his position this week, and is currently being investigated by New Hampshire authorities on similar allegations dating back more than a decade ago in that state. But as A.J. Higgins reports, Ryder's attorney maintains there's not enough evidence to support the charge.
Under Maine law, the misdemeanor crime of official oppression can be brought against a public official who uses his or her office with the intent of benefiting personally or harming another individual. And as far as Kennebec County District Attorney Megan Maloney is concerned, Don Ryder intended to achieve both of those goals when the former principal of Waterville High School allegedly solicited an 18-year-old student for sex in his office behind closed doors. The young woman later reported him.
Just because it's one person's word against another doesn't mean that a case shouldn't be brought. You have to decide who you believe. And that's my job, to decide who I believe. And then that's ultimately the job of the jury, to decide who they believe. So if I believe a victim in a case, then I bring a case forward.
In the days since the Waterville allegations against Ryder came to light, former students in New Hampshire have come forward to make similar complaints against Ryder when he was employed at a regional high school in New Ipswich 17 years ago. Maloney said the charge against the former educator sent the message that a higher standard of behavior is expected from those who are supposed to be in a position of public trust. The prosecutor said the 18-year-old student has agreed to testify against the former principal in a case that has divided the Waterville community.
I obviously don't have a case without her cooperation. This has been extraordinarily difficult on her. She has been ridiculed. She has been called a liar. And I can't even imagine how hard it has been for her going through this process. But through it all, she has gained even more strength in herself, in a belief in doing what's right and in pursuing justice.
This is a case where the facts are disputed, the law is disputed, and it has more issues than National Geographic.
Ryder is represented by Augusta attorney Walter McKee, who says he will stage a vigorous defense for his client, whom he says faces charges that can't be substantiated by the state.
What happened in that room? Nobody even really knows, right? There's two different versions about what happened. But even assuming that everything that she says is 100% accurate, that's not the crime of official oppression. The crime of official oppression is something that's part of the anti-corruption statutes in our criminal code. It doesn't fit anywhere else. So even if you think that everything that she says is absolutely true, Dawn committed no crime whatsoever.
Maloney said she does not expect any further action in the case until after the first of the year. The prosecutor said that while the crime does carry a jail term of up to 6 months, the penalty is rarely imposed. Instead, she said fines of up to $1,000 are more commonly assigned against those convicted of the charge. For MPBN News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
And legislative leaders have had a busy day today. They have been considering over 150 bills that various lawmakers want considered in the January session of the legislature. These are bills that were rejected before. Only about a third of the bills have been accepted for consideration. To sort some of this out, Mal Leary joins me now from Augusta. Mal, legislative leaders have been saying they would limit these bills to emergency items. Is that what happened?
Well, Nora, emergency is sort of like beauty. It's in the eyes of the beholder.
Okay.
To legislative leaders, some bills that were let in were pretty minor in nature, dealing, for example, with a sewer district. But many of the bills were aimed at addressing very serious problems, like the drug epidemic. Several bills were allowed into the session to deal with that. They range from a school-based prevention program to increase penalties for interstate drug trafficking, as well as expanding drug treatment efforts. There are also several bills dealing with high energy costs that were allowed into the session. But bills in both areas were also rejected, with leaders noting there will likely be some sort of appropriations or spending bill aimed at the drug epidemic, for example, coming from Governor LePage. And they can always allow a bill in later if they need to.
So, yeah, explain that to me. This is a little bit confusing. There are more chances for bills to come into the session even after today.
Oh, yes. There are many ways to allow bills into the session. Legislative leaders can, by a majority vote, let in a bill at any time during the session. And they will, as issues develop that need to be addressed. And then there's the governor. He's not limited by the legislature's process in putting bills before the legislature. He can submit legislation anytime. And he has shown in the past he has no reluctance to do that.
So, yes, speaking of that, what about some of the more contentious partisan bills? We've seen a lot of news releases by both parties pushing their personal agendas. How did that end up going?
Well, not very well before the council. There were a lot of tie votes with party leaders supporting their members on some of these issues. For example, Democrats proposed several bills to take money from the state liquor contract and use it for a whole bunch of purposes, like heating aid for the poor. Republicans opposed those initiatives. They want to use any extra liquor revenue in the future to lower the state income tax. And Democrats blocked a lot of GOP initiatives, like the legislation that Republicans wanted to put in dealing with Planned Parenthood.
So are those issues dead then for this session?
No, any lawmaker can again ask the council, as I said, to let a bill in at a later meeting or when the legislature's actually back in session in January. And for some of the Republicans, they also have an ace up their sleeves. They can ask Governor LePage to put a bill in for them. It's already been mentioned around the State House that he will submit legislation on the Planned Parenthood funding issue that was rejected by legislative leaders. So I think you can expect that many of these issues that were lost today may well end up before lawmakers when they come back in the January session.
All right. Well, Mal, thank you. And thanks for powering through that whole session today.
It was a long day, Nora.
Okay. Well, it's done now. Thank you very much, Mal.
Thank you.
And now at 15 minutes before 6 o'clock, let's check the weather forecast, not in Augusta, but statewide, with our meteorologist, Paul Cousins.
The first statewide deluge in weeks will swamp Maine tonight. Temperatures steady, if not inching upward slightly. Stiff winds to buffet the coast east of Portland. As a front sweeps east, rain will depart western Maine by midday, but not until dusk along the New Brunswick border. Sunshine will perforate the overcast southwest during the afternoon. Rather windy and quite warm. Low 40s north, upper 50s south. Saturday, quiet and cooler. Limited sunshine down east, more sun than clouds for the rest of the state. Upper 30s to upper 40s north to south. Another front will induce showers Sunday throughout the state, ending southwest during the afternoon with clouds breaking late. Snow showers will develop across the mountains and the crown of Maine. Breezy, brighter, and colder Monday. This is meteorologist Paul Cousins for the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.
And that's Maine Things Considered for today. Thanks to Ed Mora and Jay Field, Barbara Caridi, and Susan Sharon. I'm Nora Flaherty.